All right, Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. How many feel like we're living in a strange country? I was reading in it's a book of, I don't know how you say the word, you say compilation or it's a book that's compiled, sermons that are compiled. Is it compilation? Is that how you say that word? But it's a compilation of sermons concerning patriotism and America that sort of the Lord put out years ago. And I was reading last night about a prayer that was given. You know, you all have heard about, you've heard the term, there's gridlock in Washington. Well, way back yonder when the country was founded, I'll bring that to the pulpit and read it to you. It'll bless your heart. It will absolutely bless your heart. But they were locked up. There was gridlock. They couldn't agree among themselves. So politicians couldn't agree. But you know what they did? They called the chaplain. They called the group on both sides to prayer. And it wasn't too long after that. I believe the document was the Constitution come out of that. Are you listening to me tonight? I tell you, there's nothing going on that God can't fix. But if you don't let God in the mix, it ain't going to get fixed. It's a strange country. Somebody walked up to a police officer the other day and shot him in the back. And when he fell, just kept shooting him. Just kept shooting him. Lawlessness. That's where we're headed. Are you listening to me? It's a strange country. The Bible said, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, you can look at that right there and say, well, I thought Sarah laughed. Well, she did, but she changed her mind. God will let you change your mind about some things. Say amen right there. Amen. He'll let you see that you're wrong and he's right. Therefore sprang there even from one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for loving us. And Lord, we know tonight the only reason we love you is because you first loved us. And Lord, I thank you tonight for the old story. And Lord, tonight the song, Let a Double Portion. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of the living God, Lord, would get a hold of our hearts, get a hold of our lives. Lord, I know tonight that you want to work in our midst. Lord, there may be someone here tonight not saved. Lord, thank you for saving Hayden last Sunday night. Lord, he has such joy on his face and in his heart. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Lord, we just pray that you'll just help us to look to you, to lean on you, trust you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're talking about out of the book of James. We read in Hebrews about Abraham. But then we read in the book of James this morning a little portion of scripture where it talked about Abraham was called a friend of God. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, this is James 2:23. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I don't want to go a lot into this tonight, but just think about the doctrine of imputation for just a minute. How that God does not put on my account what ought to be there. I'm glad tonight when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. But not only does God not put on my account what ought to be there, but God turns right around and puts on my account everything that I do not deserve, everything that I could never deserve in this walk of life. God had done that for Abraham. Abraham trusted God. Abraham believed God. When we get tonight to the story about Isaac, and we'll talk about that just a little bit, Abraham's faith was tested. Some believers today, they act like it's a strange thing when their faith is tested. I want to tell you something. God loves us enough to test our faith. God don't want us to wait until we're in eternity. That's the way some people believe, that you have to wait till you're in eternity to see if you made it or not. Beloved, that's not what this Bible teaches. This Bible teaches a right now, no soul salvation. Amen. And I believe it's better for our faith to be tested on this side. Amen. Find out what we have. Amen. That's why the Bible said count it all joy. That's why the Bible said to rejoice. Amen. Because the worst thing that you and I are ever going to suffer as believers is in this walk of life. The others, the unbelievers, are going to suffer in the next life. Abraham was a friend of God. He was called a friend of God. And we looked this morning at the believing aspect of true friendship and how that Abraham believed God and that faith is what it takes to make it and to be pleasing unto God. And then we looked at the leaving aspect of true friendship. I believe that there are some that, you know, they kind of say, Lord, I'll go this far, but right there's the line. I'm not going any farther. I've used this illustration before. I'll use the backside of this piece of paper. Well, I can't use that one. The marker bled through. I'll use this. But a lot of people, when they're trying to find the will of God, what they want God to do is fill it out, let them read it and study about it and think about it, maybe even pray about it. And then if they like it, they'll sign it. No one will ever find the will of God for their life like that. I'll tell you what Abraham did. Abraham handed it to God and said, fill it in. Amen. Abraham just signed it and said, here it is, Lord. Fill it in. That's what real faith is. Amen. Knowing that our God would never do anything to harm us or to hurt us, but he's got a plan for our life, and he's working that plan. The third thing in the message tonight is not only the believing aspect of true friendship and the leaving aspect of true friendship. There can never be a right kind of marriage without leaving. Amen. Listen, I don't know of one instance, but I'm going to tell you right now. Listen to me carefully. You want a mess, you let a young'un get married and don't leave mom and dad. You'll find you a mess right quick. Amen. I believe there's that leaving aspect, not only in marriage, but in the Christian life. God wants us to leave some things behind that we might follow him. And that's what Abraham was willing to do. He left Ur of the Chaldees. He left his kin people. He left the land, and he just left it all. And by the way, the Bible said there, talked about tabernacles. You don't drive them stakes too deep. Just deep enough to hold you a night or two. Amen. You're going to pick them up and move on anyway. Amen. And that's the way Abraham lived. There's the believing aspect, the leaving aspect. I want to get tonight to a couple more things in the message, and we'll be done. The cleaving aspect of true friendship. Turn in Acts chapter number 11 for just a moment. We'll go back to the story of Abraham. That's who we're using. But there's a verse of scripture here tonight that came to my mind immediately when I pinned down the words, the cleaving aspect of true friendship, just to show you that it's not just Old Testament, but it's New Testament as well. The Bible said here in Acts chapter number 11, verse number 19, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution. So it wasn't a time when everything was just, roses and smelling good, looking good. And the Bible said there was persecution arose about Stephen. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word, none but unto the Jews only.
And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, preaching that old story, preaching the word of God. And the Bible said the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Watch verse 22. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, and he should go as far as Antioch. Barnabas was going to go encourage the people of God. Look at verse 23. Who, when he came and he had seen, watch this now, how do you see the grace of God? How do you see the grace of God? It goes back to what I said this morning. Amen. These people, my friend, were saved by grace through faith. And that kind of salvation will make you want to get up and go to work for the Lord. It'll produce good works in your life. Let their light so shine before men that men may see your good works. When men see our good works, actually according to that verse right there, they're seeing the grace of God at work in our lives. They're seeing the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I tell you, you look at some people that call themselves believers, and it looks like God wasted His grace. They've never even experienced enough grace to be faithful to the house of God. Help us. Help us. Amen. Never experienced enough grace to get their Bible down. Enough grace to carry somebody else's burden. Enough grace to tell somebody the old story of Jesus and His saving glory. The Bible said, who when He came and seen the grace of God was glad. Watch this now. I tell you, seeing somebody that says they're a believer, act like a believer, walk like a believer, it'll make you glad. And the Bible said, He exhorted them all, watch what's He exhorting them to do, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. You know what Barnabas wanted them to do? Keep doing exactly what they were doing. Amen. Barnabas wanted them to go forward, hang on to what they had, hang on to the Lord, hang on to those blessings, hang on to that purpose that, hey, when I got saved, I didn't have any purpose. But when He saved me, He gave me a reason to live, a reason to live, a reason to live for His honor and for His glory. Abraham was one that cleaved. Here was a group of believers that cleaved. You say, preacher, how do you see Abraham cleaving? Go back to Genesis chapter number 12 with me a moment. Genesis chapter number 12. Abraham didn't just believe the Lord. Abraham wasn't just willing to leave some things behind. As we said this morning, like the woman at the well left her water pot, James and Peter, they left their nets. Elisha left his yoke of oxen, left the plow, left the field and followed Elijah. And here's a man that was, my friend, cleaving unto the Lord. The Bible said here, the word of God said in Abraham, look in verse number 4 of chapter 12. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and gathered their substance, gathered their souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth into the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land and the place of Shechem and the place of Moreh. And the Canaanite was there in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord. I tell you tonight, there's not going to be much cleaving if there's not an altar, amen. If there's not a place, amen, where we meet with Him and He meets with us. But Abram, my friend, didn't just believe God. He didn't just leave those things behind. But he understood, listen to me carefully right here, that if he was going to go any further, he couldn't go in his own strength. He couldn't go in his own direction. He needed direction from the God of heaven. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path, the Word of God said. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding. That's what's wrong in this country. We've decided that we know better than what God knows. And we don't, amen. Here's a man that was called a friend of God. A friend of God. He was called a friend of God. I tell you, there's a cleaving. It was done through prayer. He built an altar. It was done through a promise. God told Abraham, listen, when Ishmael was born, that was the works, so to speak, of the flesh. That was trying to work it out. Amen. That was trying to make it happen. Let me just say something to you tonight right here. If you've ever experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. You can put your hands on it and try to make it happen if you want to, but you'll make a mess. Amen. I tell you, my friend, when God did it right. It looked like it was impossible, but how many knows He specializes in the impossible? He did it with Abraham. He did it with Sarah. He gave them Isaac, and right there's where the seed was going to be blessed. You know what I believe? I believe when Abraham marched Isaac up that mountain, I believe he had every intention of doing exactly what God told him to do. I don't believe it would have been a problem. If I'm reading the Bible right, he judged him faithful. If I'm reading the Bible right, I don't believe it would have been a problem for Abraham to put the knife in, pull the knife out, watch the blood gush out of him, watch the life go out of him. If I'm reading the Bible right, I believe Abraham had such faith, he would just stood back and said, okay, Lord, it's your turn. What are you going to do now? Amen. I've done what you told me to do, but right there's the seed. Right there's the promise. And beloved, he cleaved to the Lord, raising the knife on his own son, depending on him. I'll tell you tonight, David's one that said, he wasn't going to offer to the Lord that which cost him nothing. I tell you, my friend, listen, Isaac is a picture, you understand, of Christ, that only begotten Son of God. And you understand, my friend, listen, that it was a great cost for Abraham to be willing to raise that knife and put it in his son. I tell you, our children are precious to us. But you think about having a child. Well, I'll tell Miss Eve that when I get home. Think about having a child when you're 90 years old. Amen. Think about having a child, Abraham, when you're 100 years old, 99 years old. Oh, beloved, listen, he was cleaving unto the Lord. There's the cleaving aspect, the cleaving aspect. I told you this morning, I'll just mention it and move on to the last thing. You remember when over and over, and I believe it's 2 Kings chapter number 1. You remember when over and over Elijah told Elisha, tarry ye here. Tarry ye here. And you know what I believe? Now, I could be wrong about this. I believe Elisha was being tested. Beloved, let me tell you something. Even people close to you sometimes will tell you things. You better learn to listen to the Lord. Amen. Even your family sometimes will tell you things, amen, that may not line up with what God's wanting to do in your life. But I believe Elisha was being tested. Elijah said, tarry ye here. He said, no, I can't do that. As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. That's the kind of attitude we need about our master tonight. I will not leave thee. And then, of course, in the story, Elijah asked Elisha to make his request, and Elisha did. He said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And Elijah said, well, we can do that. That'd be all right, but you've got to be with me when I go. The same one that just kept telling him over and over, tarry ye here, tarry ye here, tarry ye here. Can I say it pays to hang in there? Hallelujah. Hang in there. It pays to hang in there. Oh, we had prayer last night. back in the fellowship hall. Listen to me. I'll tell you, we've prayed about things this year that we've seen come to pass. We've prayed about things we ain't seen come to pass. But hang in there. We'll get to see it, for it's over with. Hallelujah. Hang in there. Cleave to the Lord. He was a friend of God. Because, my friend, he was willing to hang in there with God. And we see the not only the believing aspect and the leaving aspect and the cleaving aspect, but we see the receiving aspect of true friendship. I'm just going to say this. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not. But I know what human nature is. I happen to have some of it. Too much of it. Help me. Before you get too shining that halo, you do too. All of us do. I believe with all my heart. Most people, I just pinned down a few words on that little piece of paper this morning, would like to go from the believing aspect straight to the receiving aspect. They're not interested in the leaving aspect. And they're not even interested in the cleaving aspect of true friendship. They just like to jump. I'm born again. Now just put me in the receiving line. Am I right or am I wrong? I don't know about you, but where I come from, it's just not polite to buck the line. Say amen. You got to take your place. Ain't that right? And so what I want you to see tonight is, what is it that Abraham, the true friendship, what is it that he received? What did he have that he received from God? Three things quickly. Number one, he had the right kind of faith. He had the kind of faith that produced good works. He had the kind of faith, listen to me carefully, that endured. I believe when Jesus gives us the parable of the sower, I believe there's some there that just don't have the right kind of faith. It fell amongst thorns. It fell on stony ground. It fell by the wayside. But some of it, thank God, fell on good ground. And it brought forth fruit. And I believe that's what the Lord's looking for. Abraham's faith was the right kind of faith. It brought forth what genuine Bible faith is supposed to bring forth in a believer's life. Secondly, Abraham had the right kind of fellowship. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? I can't find one thing in the Bible that would have kept Abraham, if he'd have wanted to, going where Lot went. Except Lot wasn't in the altar building business. When Abraham bowed that knee, he was fellowshipping with the God of heaven. And the God of heaven said, let him choose. Abraham made a choice that was by faith. Lot made a choice that was by sight. And that's exactly what's going on in our country today. I want it, and I want it now. Brother Ralph, after you talked to me over there last night or us in the prayer meeting about the schools and what you've been seeing, I talked to my granddaughter today. She said, Papa, it's bad. She said, it's bad. I said, honey, has your daddy talked to you? She said, yes, he has. I said, well, I want to talk to you a little bit too. If my baby can make it through that, it'll be by the grace of God. And because at an early age, right now, she's got a purpose in her heart. God has a man for me somewhere out there. And I'm going to save myself for that man that God has for me. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen on purpose because somebody believes God and wants God's best for their life. Abraham, he had the right kind of faith. Brother Anthony, He had the right kind of fellowship. Listen to me carefully, and I'm done. The Bible said that he looked for a city. You know what we live in? We live in a world, even in a church world. Listen to me carefully. They want the right kind of future, whether they have the right kind of faith or not, and whether they have the right kind of fellowship or not. Abraham not only had the right kind of faith and had the right kind of fellowship, but thank God Almighty, we know where he is. He had the right kind of future, the future that God has for those that love him and trust him. Abraham was a friend of God. I don't know about you tonight, Hayden, wouldn't you like to be a friend to that one that came by last Sunday night, son? I'll tell you, Brother Wayne, that ain't going to be easy, is it? Sometimes they're going to make fun of him, ain't they, Brother Wayne? He's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to decide, am I going to go with the crowd or am I going to go with Christ? How many of y'all done figured out the crowd ain't going with him? The crowd never has and the crowd never will. But tonight, Abraham was willing to go with God. Look with me, if you will, back over at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I thank God that this man was called a friend of God. Hebrews chapter number 11. I want to read just one or two verses here. The Bible said he, verse number 9, he sojourned in the land of promise. He realized that this world was not his permanent dwelling place, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. It could be. I'm just letting my imagination run for just a minute. I could imagine my children when I was with Rock of Ages, Brother Randy. Sometimes they just wanted to stay home. You get tired of running the roads. How many knows what I'm talking about? Following Daddy in revival, following him to reputation meetings, and sometimes you just would like to stay home. Don't you reckon that Isaac and Jacob once in a while maybe would say something like, well, you know, Dad, do we have to move so soon? We just got here. What are we moving for now? I can hear Abraham saying, son, there's a city out there. God built it. This world's not our home, son. It could be, son, that tomorrow's move will be the move. Hallelujah. There's a chill just run over me. Tomorrow's move may be the move. Say amen right there. When we reach the city that God has promised for the redeemed. Abraham had the right kind of future. The Bible said, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Lot was looking for a city. Even when he left Sodom, he was still looking for a city. But he was looking for a city on earth. Abraham was looking for a city. Which city are you looking for tonight? I used to get concerned. Anybody that knows me knows how much I love the country, knows how much I love the outdoors. And I used to get concerned. God, a city? You don't get that, do you? I think it was Brother Houston was with me last night. We were riding through a subdivision, a very nice subdivision. And I said, you know, Brother Houston, if I can make it from here to heaven without living in a subdivision, that'd be all right with me. Amen. That's just the way I am. Amen. I'm geared that way. And I used to think about heaven and a city, but then I read where the gates are not closed at all. See, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And the Word of God said we can go in and out. So I believe the Lord's going to let me go to the country once in a while. Amen. I tell you, God's country's better than anything on this earth. Amen. God's city is better than anything on this earth. Bless His name. The right kind. The future. You know, God has that future and desires that future for everyone. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If I understand that verse of Scripture, and I believe I do, anybody that leaves this world without God goes against God's will in doing so. I believe the song, "There's room at the cross for you." Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Tonight, if you had to leave this world, would you be called a friend of God? Can you say there's that believing aspect, there's that leaving aspect, there's that cleaving aspect, and then there's that receiving aspect? You know, Sister Becky, when you all were singing, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me," let me give you a thought that just came to my mind. He was blessing me before I knew it. I had clothes on my back when I was lost. I had something to eat when I was lost. But I didn't bow my head and thank God for it. A song like that never touched my heart when I was lost. Someone said sometimes that people are like a hog. They get under the oak tree and they keep gobbling up the acorns, but they never look up and see where they're coming from. God help us, amen, as His people, to always look up and know where the blessings are coming from. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight and thank you, God, for the service. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for Abraham. Lord, Abraham was faithful. Lord, you said if we'd be faithful over a few things, God, you'd make us ruler over many. God, I do pray tonight that something's been said this Lord's Day in the house of God that would encourage us, Lord, to want to be a friend. To want to be a friend. A friend of God. Lord Jesus, you said you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Lord, I pray tonight you'd help us to live a life that would reflect your grace. Help us, Lord, tonight to live a life that's birthed out of the right kind of faith, the right kind of fellowship, that one day after a while, Lord, we'd have the right kind of future. I pray tonight, Lord, you'd touch hearts, touch the heart of the unbeliever tonight, Lord. That one that's never been born again, I pray, Lord, tonight, be merciful. Help them tonight.